Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies, and all my friends. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back. It's good to be back as we observe the decline and fall of Western civilization. There's no nice way to put it. There's no nice way to put it. In fact, let's jump right in. Speaking of Western civilization, let's go to what once was the seat of Eastern civilization, Persia, where on Tuesday, Iran summoned France's ambassador over the blasphemous representation of the Last Supper at the Olympics. So, well, that's what AF Post says. Not sure AF this is. It's, I don't know if it's an official news wire. Anyway, I checked it out. The Iranians did summon the ambassador of France for all the perversion and corruption of the opening ceremonies. And to date, not one single Christian country has said a peep about anything at all, which may indicate how many Christian countries there are left, which is maybe none. And so the Persians, they may worship a false god, and they may subscribe to a suicidal satanic religion, but they recognize that you can't be prancing around a bunch of perverts in front of everybody without any consequences, which is a sad comment on the state of affairs in the world. But that's where we are. In fact, I think the Pope said he thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I forget who else may or may not have commented on it in the American government. But so there you have it. The Iranians are upset. Makes you wonder. And so I wonder also if it's possible, it could be possible that this past week an event occurred that will one day be looked back upon as peak trans. I called peak woke with the resignation and or firing or professional decapitation of Harvard president. I can't remember what her name was now. But there you go. So there's peak woke. It's ebbed so much, I can't even remember the name of the quota hire that marked peak woke. She had to resign from Harvard. That's all I remember. She was a fake, phony quota hire. And now, everyone had to watch the boxer at the Olympics punch the girl into submission. The man punched the woman in the face. Zero Hedge reported it. They were the first ones. After just 46 seconds and two massive shots to the head, a boxer from Italy named Angela threw her helmet onto the mat and abandoned her bout against an Algerian boxer, Imane Big Mike Khalif. That's right. The 25-year-old girl refused to shake hands with the man who punched her into near unconsciousness. The referee, after the boy punched the girl and knocked her out, the referee raised the boy's hand in the air. And then the girl dropped to her knees and burst into tears, saying she had never felt such strong blows in a boxing match. Okay. And then on Friday, a Taiwanese boxer, who is a boy, he beat up a girl and was declared the winner after punching a girl in the face on TV. So, and you know what's weird? Besides the fact that we have women boxing, okay? I'm just going to say that strikes me as disgusting. You know, I used to be a boxing fan when I was young. I used to watch boxing, but then it became just too, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to describe it. Watching two men punch each other until one falls down in unconsciousness with blood everywhere, and it lost its attraction to me at some point. I didn't want to watch men beat each other senseless. And the idea that anyone wants to watch two girls beat each other senseless, or the idea that there are girls who want to beat each other senseless in a competition, is just foreign to me. I don't understand it. Call me sexist. I think women boxing is disgusting. I think it's demeaning of femininity, and I don't like it. And I certainly would never watch it. But what's strange about the story is that both of the stories, as I've read them in the mainstream media in multiple sources, they both report that these two tranny pervert boxers, the guys beating up the girls, all the stories report that these guys had failed gender tests in the past. That's right. They say that Imane Big Mike Khalif had previously failed a gender test. And then the Taiwanese boxer who beat up the girl on Friday, Taiwanese boxer who failed IBA gender test defeats female opponent at Paris Olympics is the headline. And so why do the urinalists include the detail that the guys who beat up the girls had previously failed gender tests? Why would they include that detail? And I suspect that being trained urinalists, they by nature subtly introduce ideas in the head of the weak-minded reader. The weak-minded reader, by the way, being the vast majority of people reading. The trained urinalists plant the idea that the passing of a gender test would somehow mitigate the shock that you felt when you watched a man punch a woman in the face on TV. And they do it. It's not a conspiracy. This is how they were trained. So that the average moron says, boy, and they failed a gender test too. That makes it easy. That must be why I'm so shocked at watching a man pound a woman into the mat there. I thought I was just shocked at the idea of watching a man punch a woman in the face, but obviously the gender test is what. Had they been able to prove that they were biologically female in some way, maybe I wouldn't have been so shocked when I watched the guy punch the girl in the face. I don't. Anyway, but I don't think that even the average moron, which is the vast majority of people, even the average moron is sickened at watching a man punch a woman in the face and then watching that man have his arm raised by the referee as if he's won something. So this could mark peak trans. People might just get sick of all the trans nonsense. Even the leftists, even the communists, even the other assorted various perverts have a hard time watching a guy beat up a girl. At least I hope so. I could be naive. I could be just old-fashioned in that it bothers me. But maybe it's a sign of liberty to the younger generation that men can beat up girls and we can all be happy about it. And everybody gets a trophy. Well, except the girl who got beat up. She didn't get a trophy. But maybe that's how they'll ameliorate the shock, is they'll give her a trophy along with some stitches and, you know, put some ice on that type of thing. All right.
Women are the one who ask for.
That's true. That's true. The girl who wants to go in there and punch another girl in a contest. I mean, you're kind of setting yourself up into a pretty rough game. You got to figure that it's not going to be the most moral and conscientious people are involved in such affairs. And so you end up getting punched in the face by a guy. It's some of that is on the girl. I would have to agree with my extremely attractive audio engineer.
So nice to me.
Who's never, you've never participated in boxing, right?
No.
Was it boxing?
I'm going to be killed.
I boxed when I was in eighth grade for one season. It's a lot harder than it looks, I'll tell you that. So the rounds we did in the Golden Gloves were 45-second rounds. Felt like an hour. And at the end of three of them, I was ready to pass out. All right, now, we go from Peak Trans there to Warsaw, where the Polish state media, that's like PBS, but in Poland. You know, Poland, the former communist country that has an official state media organ, that it's like what we have here in America, PBS. That's our own communist media organ for the state. Along with NBC and ABC and CBS and CNN and MSNBC, oddly enough. So that when you think of those and how they're an organ for the communists and the perverts and the weirdos and the creeps, they have something like that in Poland, too. It's Polish state television. And they have suspended a journalist named Przemysław Babiarz. You remember. He's famous. So he's been suspended because while he was watching the Olympic Games opening ceremony, the song, John Lennon's song, Imagine, was played, and during the playing of John Lennon's Imagine, Przemysław said, "This is a vision of communism, unfortunately." He was sorry to hear John Lennon's Imagine coming over the loudspeakers, and he commented that it's a vision of communism. Because, why? Because it is.
Because he knows.
The song says, imagine no heaven, no hell, imagine no countries, imagine no possessions. It is communism. And, of course, the Polish guy whose parents survived communism, maybe he did, he recognized immediately, this is awful. They're playing a communist song. Oh, so anyway, he's been suspended.
Nice.
That's right. Yeah, and his comments have caused quite the stir on social media with people supporting him and other people not understanding and stupid people who don't realize John Lennon was a communist and a pervert and a creep and a Satanist and just an evil, evil guy. They think John Lennon loved everybody. Uh-huh. John Lennon loved the world, and he was judged according to his works by the world. John Lennon's Imagine. If you haven't studied the lyrics, go online, look them up, and read them.
Nah.
Or not. You can trust my word that John Lennon was a hippie communist scumbag, just like your dad told you about the hippies. It was all true. Bunch of communist creeps, perverts, and weirdos who were out to corrupt your good manners, and that's what they did. And they did it to all of Western civilization. And it crested at the Olympic opening ceremony in Paris. Was it last week or last weekend? That was the crest of the hippie movement. That was the hippies' last hurrah. I hope we've reached peak trans, peak hippie, peak creep, peak weirdo. I hope everyone just gets sick of it and can't take it anymore. Because it's caused us, the depth of the problems. Well, here, just listen to this. The terrorists from September 11th, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and a couple other guys, they worked out a deal with the prosecutors so that they would be spared the death penalty. And then finally, we could get on with the trial. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they've been at Guantanamo Bay for almost 23 years. 22 years. They were captured in 2003. So they've been in Guantanamo Bay for 20 years preparing for trial. That's how confused America has become in the wake of the whole hippie pervert weirdo ascension. And by the way, I just want to, and now, in a sign that the Democrats are, they're worried they might not be able to steal the election. And how can you tell? Because deep state operatives are preparing for the fact that they might not be able to steal the election. They don't want to go to jail. So Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin on Friday revoked the plea deal of the terrorists that would have spared them the death penalty. Yes, Austin announced that he had relieved the official responsible. He actually fired somebody. That hasn't happened since Barack Obama was elected. So he fired an official responsible and says he's going to assert his own authority in the matter, and he revoked and he said, we are not going to spare them the death penalty. And I just want to remind Lloyd Austin that actually none of you had the ability to spare these guys the death penalty. Now, yeah, you were just ready to do what you've been doing for 20 years and let them humiliate America for a little while longer. But they were always going to get the death penalty. Always were going to, and they will, just like you, Lloyd. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I am your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. Were you surprised, as I was, to learn that we were still preparing for trial for the terrorists who attacked on September 11, 2001?
Wow.
Hello? We're still preparing for trial?
Preparing.
Uh-huh. Anyway, the article here from the New York Post says that the reported plea deal, which has now been rescinded by Lloyd Austin because he doesn't want to go to jail or go down in history as a pariah if they can't steal the election. The purported deal had shocked families, survivors of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, who have anxiously awaited the conclusion of the case for nearly 22 years. So I know. Can you maintain anxiety for 22 years or however long it's been?
I mean, the family.
How anxious could you be? Right. So a lot of them are probably dead of natural causes, just old age. Just unbelievable. Let's see. Oh, by the way, the deals were struck and then rescinded. That was for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's the alleged mastermind behind the attacks. And then there was also Walid Muhammad Sila Mubarak bin Attash and Mustafa Ahmed Adam al-Hawsawi. I don't know why the two underbosses there have much shorter names than the big boss. The big boss just three names, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Is that how it works in the terrorist mafia? The higher up you get, the fewer names you have? I don't know. Yeah, and eventually you just become Cher. That's a pretty good one. All right. Now, from there, I've already done, Lloyd Austin, the disappearing and reappearing magical Secretary of Defense, he stepped in to try to salvage his reputation, a sign that the Democrats think they might not be able to steal the election. Although, I've got to tell you, as I analyze the situation, they're doing pretty much with camel hair is the same thing they did with Joe Biden. Just keep him in the house and don't let him go out, and just tell everyone he's popular, and that seems to be working so far. And I don't know, maybe they won't need an epidemic or whatever they were thinking they might need. It could be that the people are so stoned and happy and affluent and stupid, and all the rednecks are otherwise occupied, that they're not even worried about stealing the election. They're not even worried about it being obvious they stole the election. And that could be based on how obvious it was last time and the fact that they got away with it. So just don't let Kamala talk too much. She could start getting COVID. And then that could last. We know that can last a couple of years. And so maybe anyway. By the way, while all this is going on, all this silliness, does anyone remember that we have two astronauts who are stranded in space? So there was two astronauts who were supposed to go into space for about a week. So they've been stranded up there now for almost 2 months. And everybody says it's no big deal, but I guarantee you it's a pretty big deal. And they're pretty worried because this was not planned. And you're in space, which is scary. And I would think that If there were someone who was perceived as a conservative in office right now in the White House, there would be a daily count as to how long these poor astronauts have been stranded in space. It'd be like Nightline back during the Iran hostage crisis. Every day they would be reporting. And why can't the president get them back? But because the levers of power in the media were utterly seized by a criminally insane sex cult, they don't want to embarrass the people up top the cult, and so they don't report on the fact that we got two, they're stranded, and just the topic is verboten in the media. So, but I just want to mention it because I worry about these two. All right, and by the way, these astronauts, they better hope that the bureaucrats in charge of figuring out how to rescue them aren't the same ones who have been preparing for trial against the 9/11 terrorists. For crying out loud. You better hope that's a different department. All right, now, a headline. A headline appeared everywhere in the media last week, at least in the conservative aggregators that I visit. And the headline screamed, U.S. military not prepared to fight in a major war, according to a congressional panel. And so that headline appears for a reason, purposely. Somebody wanted that headline out there. I think that's the headline that Barack Obama wants our adversaries to read. He wants that. Barack Obama has, since the day he announced that he was running for president in 2007, he has been working to undermine the supremacy of America in the world. He has been working to knock America off our perch as the superpower in the world. That's been Barack Obama's goal. And now this headline is out there. Is this headline true? Well, it's very difficult these days to know if headlines are true because we can't trust anyone in the government anymore. And I know that's always been true to some degree. And for some of you, all you Alex Jones fans, you haven't trusted the government on anything for 30 years. But it's reached a critical tipping point with me anyway, that I no longer have a lot of confidence that what I'm reading is anything but propaganda meant to manipulate me and other people in order that dark forces who've seized the government and don't love America and don't believe in God, that those dark forces are just trying to manipulate for their own ends. Yes, I call me a conspiracy theorist, but I suspect that when I read headlines, and I think somebody wanted this headline out there, and so there it is. And then all of the conservative, liberal, all the urinalists who've been trained in all the same urinalism schools over the last 30 years, they all do the same thing. They pick up the propaganda and report it dutifully. So this is Barack Obama's headline. And then when you read into the story, this was a congressionally established bipartisan commission made up of high-level defense and national security experts. And so you read that and you're like, okay, well, I don't trust them anymore. I mean, high-level defense and national security experts have been proven now time and time again to be craven lobbyists for the military-industrial complex and to get people like John McCain elected and to just bilk the Treasury for billions of dollars for outrageous weapon systems and just crazy stupidity. And so they come out and they say, the headline is, we're no longer able to fight a major war. And you're thinking, well, maybe they're just trying to hit us up for more money. I mean, is that true that we're not able to fight a major war? I don't think anybody's able or ready to fight a major war until you find yourself having to fight a major war. And then you get ready. I mean, or you lose. But anyway, I don't trust these guys to say that we're ready or prepared or anything. I don't believe them. This commission, bipartisan, high-level defense and national security experts, they say China is a threat. Oh, great. They're geniuses. They say there's a new axis developing with China at the... Okay. They cite, there's problems with military technology and equipment, issues with production capabilities. We need to rework existing laws and regulations. Military needs to adopt innovation. And, of course, conduct a sweeping review. A sweeping review. How long? Well, how long do I got till retirement? All right, let's make this a sweeping review that gets me over the line so I can collect my retirement and then get hired by a defense contractor or two. Yeah. That's... So I have a cousin who's really good at sweeping reviews, by the way, and a niece. So they want to conduct a sweeping review, and then we have a Pentagon spokesperson, which means they don't identify as male or female, and they're at the Pentagon. Pentagon spokesperson issues a statement saying, quote, "We agree with the commission." for obvious reasons, we agree. Even though it makes us look like a bunch of completely, I understand that it makes us look completely incompetent and possibly treasonous, but we agree. We're a mess. So give us some more money. Anyway, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, so you go through and you read the article on this sweeping report here. Well, it hasn't been sweeping yet. We'll start that later. This was just a high-level review. But you read through the whole high-level review, and there's nothing about the queers and the quota hires undermining. There's none of that. And so what? They miss the main thing that's wrong, and they hit us up for some more money to buy more impressive weapon systems and review and restructure, sweeping review. So forgive me if I don't believe that commission. And I think we are... I think we are prepared to fight a major war. All you need is a few thousand Marines in uniform at any given time, and you're prepared. We go from there. You know, we'll hold off just about anybody for long enough for you people to get your act together. And we do have that. We have a few thousand Marines in uniform. And there's probably even a few guys in the Army, Navy, and Air Force who are reliable, first line of defense. So don't let that keep you up at night. We're probably going to be all right. Okay. Now, meanwhile, here's another headline. You read this headline and you're thinking, wow. So the Hamas leader, Ismail Haniyeh, if I'm pronouncing that properly, Haniyeh, Ismail, we'll just call him Ishmael. The Hamas leader, Ishmael, was blown up by a bomb. According to this article, the bomb was smuggled into his Tehran guest house months ago. So the first story was that Israel had fired a rocket from Israel and blew up Ishmael in Tehran, which was quite controversial for one country to fire a missile into another country and blow up a guy in the capital of that country. A guy that country, they love the guy. So it was pretty cheeky move on the part of the Israelis. But now the story comes out or it was planted. So somebody wants this headline out there. So this headline was cleared by Shin Bet or the CIA or the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, cleared by somebody to appear in the news for a purpose. Because when you read the article, not only was the bomb allegedly planted in this guy's apartment months ago, it's precisely 2 months before his arrival, according to a report. The bomb was planted 2 months before his arrival, according to a report. What is a report? Well, that's the guys who are planting this story. That's who the report is. And they say 2 months again here two paragraphs later. The bomb was hidden inside the guest house approximately 2 months before Ishmael came. Okay. It was initially thought, says the story, to have been an airstrike. Okay. Well, that's what I had heard. So I heard a missile, then I heard no airstrike. And anyway, it's been you can't believe what anybody's saying when there's a war going on. And as well it should be. So nobody knows what's going on in a war until years later. You know, when everyone involved is dead and the victor has written the history, and then the historians start to look at what actually happened. So we don't know what happened to this guy, but somebody wants us to think that something was done 2 months before he showed up. That's one thing we can get from the planted story here. By the way, this guy who the Jews just blew up, President Mahmoud Abbas appointed Ismail as the Palestinian prime minister in 2006. And in 2007, he was, I'm sorry, 2017, he was elected the head of Hamas, and he was widely considered Hamas's overall leader until his unfortunate and premature death in a guest house. So we don't even know if he was in the guest house. This, but we know he's dead, though. That's for sure. Well, I guess we don't know that either. See, this is what happens. The Israeli airstrike, we're told, killed three. Another Israeli airstrike earlier in April killed three of Ishmael's sons and four of his grandchildren as they traveled in a car through Gaza's refugee camp to visit family on the first day of the Muslim holiday, Eid al-Fitr. Some more propaganda. Yeah, they were all going out to pick daisies in Gaza on the first day of Eid because it was a holiday, you know, and the Jews blew up his kids and grandkids. All right, let's see. Oh, here, the guest house that Ismail was staying in is run and protected by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in a wealthy neighborhood north of northern Tehran. All right. Well, so this story, by the way, I pulled this down sometime earlier in the week. This was August 1st, which would have been what? Wednesday, Thursday? Anyway, today, Saturday, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard issued a statement saying, no, this was a short-range missile launched from within Iran. So it's impossible to know what to believe. Except the one thing we do know is that with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard now saying that it was a short-range missile launched inside Iran, that's their way of saying we're not going to attack Israel like we said we were when we were all upset at first. We've thought about it. We don't want to be annihilated. And so we're going to change our story. View. And I am, I'm back. Okay, I'm back. And the only thing we know is that the Iranians know that they don't want to actually go to war with Israel. They prefer proxy wars and attacks. And it's kind of like a guy beating up a girl. That's what they prefer, sucker punches and sneak attacks. They prefer raining missiles on civilian populations. They don't want to actually go man to man. That's the one thing we know for sure. Meanwhile, while the Middle Eastern powers that be continue to be embroiled in warfare, violence, hatred, and there's just festering hatred and a desire, there's been a desire on the part of radical Islamic terrorists to get back at the United States for everything we've done, especially the assassination of, I can't remember his name, the guy that Donald Trump blew up in Iran. So that guy. Yeah. So there's been active plots uncovered there. So they want to get us over that. And, you know, like I said, they prefer sneaky, underhanded attacks on civilian targets and things like that. And so hence the open border is a bit of a concern. But listen to this. Forget the open border. We've got a couple of Jordanian men who were in the country illegally, tried to gain access to the Quantico Marine Corps base in Virginia at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving a white Freightline vehicle. Yeah. Now, they were caught and stopped, and they were detained. But now they've been released.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, are you kidding me? So what's happened to the Marine Corps? How come the Marine Corps don't still have this guy in the brig? Both these guys. Were the Marines not allowed to hold the guys, the Middle Eastern guys who tried to get on their base? Somebody needs to wake up whoever's in charge of the Marine Corps and assign him some testicles. The Marines should have never been forced to let these guys go. So that's an act of war. At least it's a potential act of war. Because it sounds like these guys were on a dry run to see how soft it was, and maybe they were going to roll a bomb through there. Anyways, so but they've been released. But don't worry, there are terms to their release. Let's see. These guys are, how many names do these guys have? Hassan Hamdan and Mohammed Dabous. They only got a couple of names. They must be pretty high up operatives. So under the terms of their release, Hamdan and Dabous are required to appear for all future court and immigration hearings. Not just some, all. And they're prohibited from trespassing on Marine Corps base Quantico or any other military installation. Just for good measure. You're not allowed to trespass. So you read that and you're thinking, well, wait a second. Is anybody allowed to trespass on the Marine Corps base Quantico or any other military installation ever? Doesn't that go without saying? But no, we put it in the terms of their, just so they know, we're on to you. You think we don't know what you're up to? Let's see there. The terms of the release of the two terrorists by the Marines. It's embarrassing. The other terms of their release include mandates to abide by all federal, state, and local laws. And so you read that and you're like, wait a second. Isn't everybody mandated to abide by all federal, state, and local laws all the time? Even foreign people who are in the country illegally, doesn't it go without saying that we're supposed to obey the law? Well, these guys especially have to because they're obviously terrorists. So in order to release men who are obviously terrorists, we need to let them know that we know they're terrorists. Got our eye on you. So they also have to submit a DNA sample if they are ordered to do so, which, you know. And they're to notify the court of any changes in residence or phone numbers unless it's part of a plot, a terrorist plot that they're trying to hide. Then they don't have to. But if they just move, then we want to know. Okay. All right. So talk about the embarrassing slow motion decline and fall of Western civilization. It's embarrassing. And the girl, the girl boxer being punched in the face by the tranny freak. It's like a humiliating blow against every man in America, in the West, frankly. Just how much more of this are we supposed to take? How much more of this is the average moron with his baseball hat on watching Sports Center? How much more of this is he going to take? Does he even realize what's going on? Maybe not. All right. So now this story is just, I don't know. Here, listen to this. So there's a man in England who's accused of fatally stabbing three little girls and wounding 10 others. The guy is, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a 17-year-old teenager born in Cardiff, Wales, to Rwandan immigrant parents. He's believed to have taken a taxi to a dance school where he attacked the children and other attendees at a Taylor Swift themed dance and yoga workshop. So how does a Rwandan teenage boy, 17 years old, how is he aware that there is a Taylor Swift-themed dance and yoga workshop at a dance school? It's just a really weird story. And so I'm going to tell you what I suspect. I'll tell you what I suspect. Now, the headline is that these Muslims are out of control. These illegal immigrants, although this guy was a legal immigrant, he was born in England. He's born the son of legal immigrants, as far as I know. Anyway, these Muslims are out of control, and they're barbarians. And so I'm going to tell you what I think. We'll see what happened. I think that this kid is the son of Rwandan Muslim religious fundamentalists. And potentially aligned with terrorist forces. Totally possible. And he and his family, as Muslim religious fundamentalists, are convinced that a Taylor Swift-themed dance and yoga party is a satanic event. A satanic event that, in his mind, he was driven to madness by his religious confusion, along with his lust and his hatred and his possible criminal insanity and his ties, possible ties to terrorists. All that drove him into a frenzy. And to where he goes and he attacks this satanic evil event and butchers children. Now, the proper response to learning of a Taylor Swift themed dance and yoga workshop is to point out that Taylor Swift themed parties for little girls are satanic, and you should warn the parents, don't do that. And then you leave it at that. You don't attack anyone with a knife. But this guy took the action he took because of his particular background, upbringing, religion, and all of that. So that's what I think happened. It's a very bizarre story. And chances are we'll never learn much more than we have right now, because there will be another equally horrific and shocking event within the next week or two that everyone has to move on to the next slaughter. You can't even keep track. And then the justice system in England, they'll process this maniac for the next 15 years. And then cut a deal with him, and he'll probably get counseling and a prescription, and then he'll be back on the streets. It's insanity. The whole world has gone insane. That's no longer a hyperbole. The Epoch Times reports that suicides among American preteens has increased by about 8% a year since 2008. A preteen is a child between the ages of 8 and 12 years old. And they're killing themselves at a growing rate every year in America. What the hell is going on? How can an 8 to 12-year-old even comprehend the idea of wanting to kill themselves, let alone having ideation, let alone acting on it? What the hell is going on? It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. Well, that's all I can say about that. There's not much more you can say. And so listen to this. So on Monday, this past week, so I work for a living. I only do this show to I don't know why anymore, actually. I used to do it to vent my frustration. Now I'm not even sure why I'm doing it. I'm sure it has something to do with that. And so, but I work a regular job. I'm just a regular guy trying to make a living out there. So on Monday morning, one of my vendors called me first thing in the morning on Monday morning to let me know that they had been working hard the day before on a promo and a special, and they announced a big sale on the company bulletin board the day before. They want to check with me because just in case I missed the big announcement the day before on the company bulletin board, I should let all my customers know about the big sale that was announced the day before. This was on Monday morning. And so the day before, having been Sunday, the reason they checked with McBurney to make sure he heard was because they know that I don't work on Sunday. I don't check the company bulletin board on Sunday. And here's the thing about working with the godless. These children, these godless heathen children, they don't understand that the prosperity they enjoy, that prosperity they enjoy was all predicated on all of us agreeing that there would be one day of the week that we take off work and we worship God. That was the agreement that made what you do possible. And I know not everybody was a Christian. I know. I'm sure it's always been a tiny minority. But there was a time when even the heathens agreed to honor the agreement we had about Sunday. The agreement that they made with the Christians about Sunday, they would honor that, even if they didn't even fully comprehend why. There was enough of a shared cultural experience that even the heathens knew that you just didn't work on Sunday, that's all. But now, the extraordinarily affluent generation coming up, they think they can have the prosperity and the affluence, but they don't need the God part. What they have, they think they get that by their own power. Yeah, and they think that the civilization around them stands by the words of their mouths and their actions. They think civilization exists by the works of their hands. And they are sorely deceived. They are sorely deceived and will be foolish enough to lose it all. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right. Instead of asking them how much of your time is left, ask them how much of your mind, baby. Because in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor. It's the Weekly Worldview.
And I'm your host, Doug McBurney.
So, speaking of the children, who think that they have all this, but they don't need the God part, let's check in with Amazon CEO Andy Jassy. He was on an earnings call talking on the phone with people who hold shares in his company there, if you're familiar. And he said the following regarding Amazon sales, which were, let's see, sales were solid. They missed their prediction, but the sales were up at Amazon, okay? And here's what he had to say. He says, if you walk into a store these days, in the cities these days, It's a pretty tough experience with how much is locked behind cabinets, where you have to press a button to get somebody to come and open the cabinet, and there's a lot of shoplifting going on. So what's happening in the physical world is driving a lot of customer resonance and buying behavior, meaning people don't like to go to the store anymore because they feel like they're walking into a prison. And Amazon is benefiting from that because people don't have to feel like they're walking into a prison. They don't feel like they don't have to feel like they're walking into a Mad Max movie to buy something on Amazon. And so Amazon sales are up, whereas other retailers are struggling, what with the expense of all the bars and the padlocks and the chains and the plexiglass and whatnot. And so the CEO over there, Andy Jassy. So he's just speaking the truth of what's happened. This is actually happening, and it's good for Amazon. But don't get too comfortable, Andy, because pretty soon the crooks are going to start pulling up to your Amazon warehouses with trucks too, and they're just going to start robbing you blind too. So You might want to figure that into your next corporate target profit margin there. The fact that the crooks are eventually going to find you. And there you go. Meanwhile, this is from the really creepy science file. That's a new file. It's probably, it's the really creepy science file. Why is it so creepy? Because it's about a vaccine against a venereal disease designed for children, which is just really creepy that you would have that idea to do that or that you would want that. It's like, what the hell are you thinking about? You want a vaccine against venereal disease for little kids? I think I want you arrested. But this is the position of the Food and Drug Administration and the, well, I think, pretty much society. The parents these days, they want, so the parents were all bamboozled back in the early 2000s to give all their kids the human papilloma virus vaccine, which is, it's a vaccine against genital warts, which everybody knows is VD. Then you get that through doing things that get you VD. And so the CDC recommended the HPV vaccine as part of the routine vaccination, and nobody said, what the hell are you talking about? That goes to like little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old. You want to vaccinate them against VD? I think you need to be arrested. But nobody asked that question. In fact, it just became a part of the standard routine for children ages 11 and up. And it can be given as recommended by the CDC for children as early as 9. Because, you know, I don't know. In fact, I want to know. In fact, I want someone to arrest you and seize all of your files and find out what's going on with you. But that never did happen, and so now here we are. Well, now the data is in on the actual vaccine and its efficacy. We've got data from 2007 through 2020 from a comprehensive statewide monitoring system for cervical cancer, which is how this was sold, by the way. This is going to stop cervical cancer. It's going to help prevent cervical cancer. That's why we have to get it into your child as early as we can, especially the girls. Got to get them. It's about cancer. So, well, by now, the vaccine should have had a population effect. There should be measurable data on a decline in cervical cancer, and that has not happened. So, in fact, the two most serious interepithelial neuroplasia 2 and 3 are up. And so cancer's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. Cervical cancer's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. The article from Peter McCullough, MD, Dr. McCullough, good source. The officials say the results are disappointing. And then Dr. McCullough goes on to say the vaccine may be failing due to, and then he goes through all kinds of reasons. There are many, many reasons. Compliance, resistant strains, and other unforeseen reasons.
Unforeseen reasons.
So, you know, it's because you just don't know, right? But the main point Dr. McCullough points out for parents is not to be falsely reassured that because they vaccinated their little girl with a vaccine, don't be falsely reassured that she's not going to get cervical cancer. And so while I do appreciate Dr. McCullough's point of view here, I think I'd like to point out to parents that you shouldn't be giving your little kids vaccines against venereal diseases. What the hell are you people thinking about? That's all I want to say. Whether it works or not, it's a really creepy idea. That's all. And if you don't realize that that's a really creepy idea, you've got some serious problems. You have some serious spiritual problems if you don't understand that. And that is the divergence that is occurring of what used to be a common experience and things that we all agreed on, like 9-year-old girls don't need vaccines against VD because we're not a bunch of perverted creeps. That used to be the common. That's no longer the common. Yeah, it's no longer commonly understood, and that's a problem. Meanwhile, the College Fix reports that there's a new study Is this a new study or is it... this is a I'm sorry, a new proclamation by a... Listen to this. A well-known conservative professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. Anywhere, right? Is that even possible? That doesn't seem possible that there could be a conservative professor of sociology. I don't think that's possible. Anyway, he's gone public and made the case for why people should work towards starting and maintaining strong marriages. He says married Americans are markedly more likely to be financially secure and almost twice as likely to be very happy with their lives compared to their single peers. No. So yes, according to his research, okay. This is sociology for crying out loud. You should put research in quotation marks, but they don't. Anyway, according to his research, marriage is a more conclusive factor for happiness than education, money, career, sex, or church. Throws all those together in one big basket. Anyway, to which that's just a little creepy, okay, just to read that sentence. But he says social media and pop culture portray single men and women as happier, but his research indicates that married couples are, in fact, happier. And so, anyway, I didn't need an allegedly conservative professor of an alleged science like sociology to tell me any of this. But you don't need sociology at all. It's a phony, made-up, fake. It's not even real. But what I don't appreciate... What I don't appreciate is the narrative implying that happiness is the point. That's not conservative. To lead people into thinking that the point of their life is happiness. That's not conservative. If married people are happier, okay, why is that? So, well, the alleged sociologist here, he links that to financial security. And which is a myth. It's a myth. It's one of the few myths that's actually bigger than sociology as a science. That's another big myth. But the idea that financial security exists and that it can make you happy, that's just all a myth. It's a lie. The point is not happiness. The point is honor God. If you honor God, you will generally do better. That's all there. Now, you might be persecuted and eventually crucified. So I don't know how the sociologist classifies success and where happiness fits in with all that. But if you live your life with your first priority to be to honor God, you will do better, both here and eternally. That's conservatism. That's not sociology. All right. It's not religion either, by the way. That's reality. All right. Meanwhile, let's see. We go to reason number 2104, to get or keep your children out of the government school. A new study from the Knight Foundation, says that 70% of students in the public schools now believe that speech can be as damaging as physical violence. And the vast majority of students report that they self-censor themselves. A majority of college students agree with the following statement. The climate of my school or on my campus prevents some people from saying things they believe because others might find it offensive. And so on its face, this isn't really that disturbing. I mean, I think we all have to self-censor ourselves to avoid offending one another. We've always done that. So, a lot of times we're restrained from saying things we believe because we know it's going to offend somebody. That's always been true. What the article doesn't really explain is that it's reached a level of leftist fascism. And the bias and the censoring is against anything good and right and godly. That they don't say any of that. But that's the problem, okay? The problem is that the good guys can't say what's good because the evil and wicked have corrupted everything and they run everything. That's what campus, what is this, campusreform.org? They should have written that, but they can't say that. Because they're urinalists. They're not allowed to realize what's actually happening and just report it. They can't do that. So let's see. The Knight Foundation shared a statement from their Director of Impact and Learning. How can that be a job? Director, what do? I direct impact and learning. It's like, working for a rocket ship company? Impact and learning? I don't know, Kayla. Kayla Gabriel is her name, and she is the Knight Foundation Director of Impact and Learning. And she says, it is our hope that campus leaders consider the opinions of students as elevated in this research as they cultivate their campus cultures in this upcoming academic year. It doesn't mean anything. It's a pile of words that you would expect from the Director of Impact and Learning, since she doesn't actually have a real job. She doesn't know what to say. Nothing she says means anything or has any meaningful impact on anything, especially learning. But anyway, she's somehow, her Knight Foundation is probably funded to the tunes of millions of dollars from successful people who've been bamboozled by sociologists, I'm sure, behind all of it. All right, now, let's go from there to something we can all relate to. This story is from the Unknown Unknown File. And I can't remember how it all goes, but during the first Iraq war, I remember General Schwarzkopf, or it might have been one of the guys in charge of the war. He said, you know, there's things you know, and there's the known, and then there's the unknown, but then there's the unknown unknown. Those are the things you don't know that you don't know. And so it's kind of hard to follow, but it's pretty profound. Because he's absolutely right. And here's a case of the unknown unknown. Vultures. Vultures clean carcasses down to the bone, leaving no muscle to rot. Which is a good thing, because rotting muscle produces disease, people catch disease, and in third world countries, people die. Third world countries like India. Well, but there's a problem with vultures, in that a vulture can strip a cow skeleton in 40 minutes. And this efficiency actually led to their downfall in India, the collapse of their population. Because in India, they use a drug called diclofenac to keep the cows healthy. They started using it in 1994. 10 years after its introduction, the vulture population plummeted from an estimated 50 million to just a couple of thousand. So the cattle are given this drug to treat pain and inflammation, and in areas without. But said sometimes the cow gets sick and it dies, and they don't have animal incinerators there like in the civilized world. So the vultures come along, and they take care of the problem. But the problem is the diclofenac kills the vultures. Remnants of diclofenac in dead cows are poisonous to vultures. And it wasn't until 2004 that people realized that diclofenac was killing all the vultures. And let's see, several papers named diclofenac as the vulture's vice, that countries in South Asia began to ban the use of the drug in livestock. But unfortunately, the damage was already done. Disease spread in the third world and it killed people. Now a new study reveals the shocking numbers linking the absence of vultures and the deaths of over 500,000 people. So this is an unintended consequence of just living life. Can't really say anyone's at fault here. So nobody expected that the dots would connect and that people would actually die. And nobody likes vultures. But I have a newfound respect for vultures. I noticed there was a dead animal in the middle of the road the other day, and I thought, who's going to take care of that? And I came back later in the afternoon. It was gone. Why? The vultures. That's why. So anyway, so 500,000 people die because we just want our cows to feel better. They treat the cattle for pain and inflammation. How do you know if your cows has pain? I guess there's ways to know. And you can know they have inflammation. You take their temperature. You want your cows to be healthy. and you end up killing the vultures, and then it's just, it's the unknown unknown. And this is why we need God, because we don't really know what's going on. I know that there are experts and sociologists who tell us that they know what's going on, but we, for the most part, we really don't know a whole lot about what's going on. And so that's why here at the Weekly Worldview, we look to God for answers and for wisdom. And so, and we try to help you in that respect. And we thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.